Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. For these last 4 or 5 weeks, we have been hearing selections from John's Gospel, most especially chapter 6, what is referred to as the Bread of Life Discourse. It is a beautiful statement of a lot of what we believe about this sacrament of the Eucharist. And at the end of this great discourse, we hear the reaction. It's important to realize who Jesus was speaking. In this case, it was not the chief priests and elders of the people. It was not the crowd. It was his disciples, those who had been following him. We know that when we hear that word disciple, we immediately think of the 12 apostles. But Jesus had other disciples besides those 12 men. Because we know in one account in the gospel how he sent out 72 of his followers. So what is the reaction of Jesus' disciples? Many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. They just could not grasp what they had heard. They could not see how this teaching could make a difference in their life. And so Jesus now turns to his 12 apostles. "Do you also want to leave?" Peter responds for the group, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." It's definitely a high point for the apostles as a group and for Peter, who speaks for them, having such a wonderful statement of faith. But of course, we know these are the same men, one of them betraying Jesus, and their spokesman Peter denying even know who he was 3 times, and of course, all of them abandoning Jesus when he was arrested. O God, who causes the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on the place where true gladness is found. I just reread the opening prayer for today's Mass. It reminds us that amidst the uncertainties of this world, natural disasters, the pandemic, leadership tragedies, God's commands, His promises, and His love does not change. We have experienced a lot of those uncertainties recently. Whether it's a surge of COVID-19 cases due to the Delta variant, the collapse of the Afghan government, or the earthquake in Haiti. That surge of cases is straining our hospitals and our healthcare workers, as well as killing people. I administered the last rites to someone who, I was told by her family, said she did not have any serious health concerns until she was infected by the coronavirus. The images of the desperate evacuation of our embassy brought back images from my own youth of a similar evacuation captured on television from Saigon. But there also was the shocking images of people clinging to the evacuation plane and falling to their death. This, of course, coupled with both Americans and those who have assisted them, fearing for their lives as they awaited evacuation. And once again, the poor island nation of Haiti is hit with tragedy as another earthquake devastates them, killing over 2,000 people and leaving tens of thousands without shelter, and others even afraid to fall asleep in their homes, fearful that the aftershock might bring their roof down upon them. And all this is happening while their government is still reeling from the assassination of their president last month. In all of these, the initial tragedy has been compounded by leadership lapses, resulting in a loss of faith in those leaders. It's easy to see, isn't it, why many of Jesus' disciples left and returned to their former way of life. In this church, as in churches across the world, we put on our walls images. Take a look at the walls of our church and see the predominant images are of Jesus' passion. That begins with station one, where he is tried and convicted before Pilate, leading all the way to station 14 with his burial. Think of the pain, the suffering that our Savior went through, the beatings he took, that long walk up the hill of Calvary, to be stripped naked and then to be nailed to the cross and to die there. Maybe we should cut the apostles a little bit of slack. As they think about what is getting ready to happen to Jesus, what good could come out of all of this? And we even see, typically depicted in station 13, Mary, his mother, holding the broken body of her son, the sorrow in her eyes, as she realizes her son is now dead. But as Christians, we know that station 14 is not the end of the story. In fact, all of this pain and suffering that we see on our walls was necessary for Jesus to triumph over sin and death. God took this great tragedy and turned it into salvation for the human family, throwing open the gates of heaven, allowing our deceased brothers and sisters to reside forever in heaven, and promising each of us through our baptism that same gift of eternal life. This is what we meant when we prayed, that our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. It is this promise of eternal life that allows us to endure the sufferings of this world, and it motivates us to respond with love. So when we are faced with the rising cases of COVID, Jesus asks us, "Do you also want to leave?" We answer him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." When we are faced with the chaos of Afghanistan, Jesus asked us, "Do you also want to leave?" We answer him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." And when faced with the death, destruction, and suffering caused by the earthquake in Haiti, Jesus asks us, "Do you also want to leave?" We answer him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." My dear friends, Jesus never promised us that following him would be easy. He never promised us that it would insulate us from the pain and suffering of this world. But the promise he made to each of us is the gift of eternal life. If we embrace hope, if we resolve to work to do to the best of our abilities to relieve the pain and suffering of this world, he will make good on that promise. And at the end of our lives on this earth, he will make good on that promise of eternal life in heaven.